Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Adirondack Theater Festival kicks off its 20th anniversary season with Becky Mode's comedy Fully Committed, starring Sam Loyd of TV's Scrubs. The show opens tonight and runs through June 28th. Sam Loyd stars as Sam, an aspiring actor working as the reservationist at a posh Manhattan restaurant. In a tour de force performance, he also plays close to 40 callers, including a wealthy socialite, a gangster, a Japanese tourist, and a supermodel's frenzied assistant. In addition to his time as Ted Buchwald on Scrubs, Sam Loyd's numerous TV credits include recurring roles in Desperate Housewives, West Wing, and Seinfeld. He has also performed Fully Committed at the Westin Playhouse in Weston, Vermont, and most recently at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, where his performance was called a masterclass of comic character acting. It is a great pleasure to welcome Sam Loyd to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It's really nice to have you here. So I assume, back us up, because I remember when we were talking about this, we had the folks from Weston in, and they were talking about you coming in and doing this. And so at what point did this come on your radar and you thought that it was something that you wanted to do?
When the producing director from Weston said, "Do you want to do this?"
That was as simple as that.
That was about it. And, you know, I read the script and it terrified me, so I had to do it.
So when it terrifies you, that and you have to do it, meaning you felt challenged and there was something, but deep down you know, okay, I can do this? There's a part of me that thinks I can do this?
There was part of me that, you know, a foolish part of me that thought, hey, I could pull this off. You know, I had just done a two-person show called The Mystery of Irma Vep, and where I played like three characters in that, and that's just a great show. And I thought, well, you know, this is a one-person show. How much harder can it be, you know? And the answer is twice as hard. Plus, you have to do 35 to 40 different characters when you only had to do three in the last one. So,
and these are definitive characters in the sense they all have their own voice, their own style, their
mm-hmm.
own.
I mean, you say it says, you know, 40 characters in the show, but some of those are like the answering machine guy that goes, "You have five messages," you know, or the operator, someone who says Pacific Bill, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't include those, but there are a solid 30 characters anyway in the show, most of whom come back at least once, but they're definitive characters. Yeah.
And which again, sounds terrifying, but also sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, there must be great freedom in that.
There is, and once you are able to get a handle on it, you know, yeah. The first time I did it, I had worked on just the specific characters before I even showed up at the theater to start rehearsal, and the rehearsal was only 2 weeks long, and that weren't enough time. So after, you know, the first week of just nightmarish hell, once I was able to get into the rhythm and once you start to really get to know the characters, it's freeing and it's a blast.
You talk about rhythm, and this question makes sense in my head, so let's see if I can actually articulate it into a good question, which is, if you're working with another actor, even if it's a two-person show, you say a line and then they say a line and you have to react to their rhythm. So when it's you saying the line and you have to react to a different voice, but it's your own rhythm, does that in some way make it make it easier?
Well, I mean, you have to be careful. And a trap that I've gotten in the past is, you know, if the director says, oh, okay, we have to pick up the pace at the beginning of the show or in a certain place, and you can't just pick up the pace when they're different people, because they do have different paces. So, I mean, you can pick up the overall pace, but you have to be careful that you aren't just saying the lines fast when the other person still has to react and they have a different rhythm and a different timing than Sam, the reservationist, has.
So everything is in its own little module, if you will, and it has to be unleashed at that moment.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So does it help that the character, Sam, that you're playing is an aspiring actor?
Oh, yeah. That was, and not only was he an aspiring actor, but his name is Sam.
Yeah.
I mean, thank goodness that was one less name I had to remember, you know. Absolutely, because I can understand this guy, because I know what he's going through during the play, because I go through it pretty much. That's my life. Yeah, even now.
I've seen some great video of you doing this, and it's very different than, you know, like a Mel Blanc, Man of a Thousand Voices kind of thing, or even Jim Dale reading, you know, Harry Potter and doing 100 voices or whatever. It's very specific characters that you're doing, that you're reacting to, and that's, it's more than just the voice. It's the lines. It's what you're saying to that reservationist on the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's not just the voice, it's the body, it's the thought process, it's the it's their intention. You know, it's I think the trap with the show is just to think that it's a gimmick for doing different voices. Because if that's what it ends up being, no one's really going to care about what's happening in the show.
Right. When you think of something like this, of what it accomplishes, like at the end of the day, when you're done, you're on that stage alone, and that seems like a great achievement to me.
Well, hopefully, when people see the show, hopefully they aren't thinking of that during the show, and
right.
Then maybe after they'll go, wow, he pulled that off. And
I meant more for you, though.
Yeah, no, for me, absolutely. I mean, I really, you know, when I first read it, and it terrified me, and I thought, but I think I can do this. To know that I'm able to actually get through the show, is a great boost to me, because then I can go out for other things, you know, especially in television and film, where you might audition with, you know, three lines or something, and you know, I can look at that and go, well, I did an hour and a half show where I was every freaking character. I think I can handle this now.
I can do this now.
Yeah.
You know, in the advertising for the show, of course, it's Sam Lloyd from TV's Scrubs, and you were with that show from the beginning to the end, right? You were in the premiere episode of that show.
I absolutely was. Yeah, I mean, and when it started, that was one of those things they call, you know, possibly recurring roles,
yeah.
Which means save your paycheck, because, you know, possibly is the operative word there. But the guy who created the show, Bill Lawrence, he told me from the beginning. He said, you know, I'm hoping to have you back, as well as these other peripheral characters, because he kind of had like a Simpsons world in mind when he did the show, where you'd have all these, you know, this whole world where some of these people would come back.
Right.
And, it was amazing that it actually happened that way. But, yeah, it was in the very first pilot episode. Yeah.
And you look back on it as an enjoyable experience?
Oh, yeah. It was a really special experience because, I mean, not only did it go more than 13 episodes, which is
nine seasons.
Yeah, it went nine seasons. And we kind of, Bill Lawrence, he had a no-jerk policy, and anyone who worked on the show in any capacity, if you were a jerk, you could not be on the show. So add to that that we were filming in an actual hospital in North Hollywood, an out-of-business hospital, and we had nobody looking over our shoulders. There were no network people. They were kind of kept at arm's length, and everyone was in it together, the production staff, the actors, the editing, the set builders. We were all together, and we kind of were like kids in a candy store. We got to do whatever the heck we wanted to.
You, I just have to wonder why more sets don't have a no-jerk policy.
You know, I wish I knew that as well. And, you know, not to be mean to my fellow actor brethren, but a lot of that happens when you cast the lead person in the show. And if they're a jerk, there's nothing you can do about it because they're a name and, you know, they are there. So that's like a bad tone to set. But Bill Lawrence didn't have, when we did Scrubs, there were no real names in that. Johnny C. McGinley was maybe the biggest name in that, but he is such a cool guy. But Zach Braff and Donald Faison, he was a name, but they weren't huge stars and they weren't jerks. And Bill made sure to put those people in that position. So everyone else followed suit.
Mm. You, as we mentioned at the beginning, you first did the show at Weston, mm-hmm. And you're a Weston native.
Yeah, I was born in Springfield, Vermont, and bred in Weston, Vermont, from the time I was born.
And which I didn't realize till your Christopher Lloyd, who is your uncle, mm-hmm. was in town doing Death of a Salesman at Weston.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, you know, my dad was an actor before Christopher was, and that's why I grew up in Weston, because he was doing summer stock in Weston back in the 50s.
Yeah.
And eventually he moved there and bought a business, and that's why I was raised there. But my dad got Christopher his, like, first full-length play role at Weston back in the late 50s, maybe early 60s, which is great to hear the stories from both of them because because my uncle, my dad was like, oh, I brought him in and I got him the lead role and he couldn't remember his lines. And I was the guy who brought him in and the producer director was so upset. And then I hear from Christopher's point of view and he's like, yeah, I couldn't remember my lines. I felt awful. My brother brought me in. I didn't know what to do.
So for you, there's a little less pressure then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and I grew, you know, I grew up doing stuff. When I was 9 years old, that was my professional Weston debut as one of the pickpocket orphans in Oliver. So that was my start there.
So what is next? You do this for a week, runs for the 28th, and then where to?
Then, actually, I go to Weston, see my family. I'm going to be rehearsing with my Beatles cover band, The Butties.
Yes.
We're playing over July 4th weekend at Jackson Gore outside in the Under the Stars on the 4th of July. And then Magic Mountain at the Bass Lodge at 8 o'clock. And then I will be going back to L.A. and looking for some work. Hi, diddly D, an actor's life for me.
Waiting for the phone to ring.
Exactly.
Which is, and I assume this is, now that you have the show in your pocket, you can sort of do it at different places, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. I'm hoping, I've got a couple dates at some performing arts centers at colleges over the next year, so.
Well, you've been there for a week, so I'm sure you know, but the Adirondack Theater Festival is just a wonderful place and great people. So yes. I assume you're going to have a lot of fun over the next couple days.
It's been fantastic so far. I just feel very lucky that I've gotten to discover this place because I had no idea.
Great stuff. Adirondack Theater Festival's 20th anniversary season begins tonight with Fully Committed, starring Sam Lloyd. The show opens tonight, runs through June 28th. More information is at atfestival.org, atfestival.org. Sam Lloyd, thank you so much for being with us. What a blast.
My
Best
pleasure.
Of luck. Have a great week.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.